Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Welcome. This is Wacky Wednesday here on the Arrowhead Addict channel. I'm Adam Best, as always, joined by Sterling Holmes and producer Richard. Sterling, what's going on, my man?
What's up, dude? How you doing?
Night of the Living Dead a little bit. Was zombified this weekend with a bad, bad cold, but I am I'm back. Chris Jones' return has lifted my spirits. True game time decision, but I wouldn't miss free agency with you for the world. I mean, this is one of my favorite times of the year. You get promised Christmas, but you kind of get more like Easter or something, right? Is that kind of how it goes?
This is where I'm at. Free agency is outstanding when you're a fan of 31 other teams. When you're the Chiefs, I don't give a hoot. I don't give a holler because I'm still looking and feeling high from the Lombardi and Super Bowl victory. This is what you look forward to when the Chiefs are bad. Free agency is what I look forward to in the draft and all that in 2012. 2024 now. All right, keep the pieces. When the Chiefs re-sign Chris Jones, I go, okay, I'm gold.
Yeah, we do our winning around Valentine's Day, not in mid-March. Right, a lot of teams, this is the most excitement a lot of fan bases are going to get. Calvin Ridley just went to the Titans. That's their Super Bowl for this year. That's the, I hate to say it like that. I live close to Nashville. It's a lovely city. That's the most excitement. This is probably the high point of their
liar.
Season.
You told me you live in Alabama now. I think you're lying to me. Alabama. Me Arkansas, then Alabama.
Okay, listen,
I think you're lying to me. Best.
Huntsville is like under 2 hours from Nashville. So I live really close to Nashville. I live in very North Alabama. Man.
It's not adding up, Chad. I think he actually lives in Springfield, Missouri. I don't believe him.
Well, we're going to do a Q&A today, make it really interactive. It's the launch of free agency, so we're going to field questions. We have a few questions of our own, but before we get to that, some business.
Yeah, you know, obviously the Super Bowl, so no betting on football right now. But if you want to bet on some NBA, some college basketball, March Madness, obviously, I always enjoy this. And if you guys want to enjoy it to the fullest extent, make sure you download the BetMGM app. You'll definitely want to take advantage of this limited time offer. New users who sign up through our link must deposit $10 and place a first wager of $5 on any live bet. Once your bet is placed, you will instantly receive $150 in bonus bets. You will get 3 bonus bet tokens of $50, allowing you to make multiple wagers with your bonuses. This offer is only available if you sign up through our link, bit.ly/arrowmgm. You can find that link in the description below our stream, as well as scan the QR code on screen to start signing up. Again, the link is bit.ly/arrowmgm. This offer is only available to new customers who are 21 plus and physically present in legal gambling states. Please remember to always gamble responsibly and check the episode description for the full terms of the offer to see if you qualify.
Before we jump into the chat and answer some questions regarding this Mahomes restructure, it was pretty sizable. Do you think that's an indication that they're going to keep Snead, that they're open to keeping Snead, or are they bluffing? Because I saw someone comment on this and say the Chiefs didn't have cap space without trading Snead previously. So other teams might have been saying they have to trade him, so we're not going to pay up.
Yeah.
By the Chiefs creating space, they can basically bluff to other teams that they're keeping him.
Yeah.
Or do you think they actually might keep him?
First, Daniel, I'm not taking a shot on Springfield, Missouri. I love Springfield, Missouri. I just figured that Adam Best reminds me of a dude from Springfield. That's all I was going with there.
I'm actually from Springfield. I grew up in Springfield. So
see, look at that.
I rep the 417. I do. Me and my brother.
There we go. See, I knew it.
Arrowhead Addict was born in Springfield, Missouri.
So, there we go. See?
No hating on 417.
I wasn't hating. I was making an observation. That was correct.
You were correct. Maybe you had heard at some point that me or my brother was from there. And
yeah, I knew Zach was, so I knew you were. I just wanted to act like I was smart. But going back to the question, yeah, it was a sizable amount, more than I originally expected. I know some needed to happen to become cap reliant, if I'm not mistaken, especially when you try and factor in the rookie draft class that they're going to bring in. So I think that's part of it. The other part is, yeah, is this a ploy for Legereus? Is this a ploy for Hollywood Brown? Is this a ploy for a secondary or tertiary wide receiver? Could be. You know, how many of those Mike Edwards signings that seemingly go under the radar, but you still have to find room to make happen? How many of those $2 or $3 million signings do the Chiefs want? The depth pieces. You know, obviously no Nick Allegretti. He's gone. Who's taking his role? Like, do they want a left tackle? Is Tyron Smith in the cards? Or is a veteran left tackle in the cards? I don't think it just means Legereus Sneed. I think it could mean that. But I don't think this is just a direct one-for-one Mahomes restructures. This has to mean Legereus is sticking around with an extension or playing on the franchise tag.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. It gives them flexibility. It showcases flexibility so other teams can't take advantage of them on the Sneed deal. But I think they were always going to probably play out the tag if they can't get more than, I don't know. I don't think they want a third rounder for him. I think they want, it's like a second rounder, or we'll just play it out.
Yeah. Again, at some point you have to find out what is the repercussions of compensation pick versus not having him, or what does it come down to? What do you value? The 1 year and you get a little extra, or do you say, you know what, we want all the draft capital we can possibly get? Again, I think with the Chiefs being in a situation where a three-peat is in the cards, maybe you will play Legereus Sneed on a franchise tag in a season potentially where you wouldn't otherwise.
The three-peat's a really big deal. They can stake a claim to being the greatest team in the history of the league if they're the first team to do it. This would be the greatest run the league has ever seen. I don't think anybody could argue that. Nobody else has ever done it. I'm sure people will try to argue it, but when you're the only team that has ever three-peated, I think that gives you a legitimate claim to we're the best that ever did it. And I think everybody in the organization is really energized by that challenge.
Yeah. Again, I don't think it makes a lot of sense for Legereus, but at some point, this is also the most money he has ever seen. So he ain't pulling a Le'Veon Bell.
No, he's not. $20 million, $19 million is nothing to sneeze at.
One of the common threads of small businesses is that so few are responsible for so many things. That's what makes it vital to have the right people in the right places. This is where LinkedIn Jobs comes in, and that's why we want to tell you about them. When you're hiring for your small business, you need to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why LinkedIn Jobs is so vital. They have the tools to help you find the right people for your team faster and for free. Look, LinkedIn isn't just another job board. They have a vast network of more than 1 billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else, and they do all that while making the process easy and intuitive. Look, hiring is easy when you have that many qualified candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. 2.5 million small businesses are already using LinkedIn for hiring. You should too. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/arrowhead. That's linkedin.com/arrowhead to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
The next thing that's been mentioned here in the chat is that Anonymous Mango, Hollywood Brown seems to be getting closer and closer to becoming a chief. So he mentioned last night on Twitch that he was going to hit Creed Humphrey up about playing for the Chiefs. And there have been a few rumors. There's a guy named Pretty Ricky 213. This is ridiculous, but he's some notary that is correctly called like five or six deals. And it's kind of become a running gag on Twitter. And he predicted Hollywood Brown to the Chiefs today. So take that with a grain of salt, but we will see. I know the Chiefs were pretty high on him coming out of college. If you can remember back to, what was it, about 5 years, 6 years ago now? It's been a while.
Yeah.
So
this Pretty Ricky thing is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how does he keep getting these things right? Who is he? I think maybe what happened with the wide receiver market outside of Gabe Davis, which is just kind of weird. Everyone was waiting on this Calvin Ridley deal to set the market because he was the best receiver on the market. And now that we have his deal, it's about 4 years and 90 million.
92, I think is what it was.
92. With,
50 guaranteed, if I'm not mistaken.
So about 23 AAV a year. I think the rest of the dominoes will start to fall. And now Hollywood Brown is the next guy on the in the pecking order. So is he a 18, you know, 19 million year guy? It's hard to say. Is he a 16?
It's still hefty for my taste. Like, yeah. Darnell Mooney got 13 mil. Is Hollywood Brown better than Darnell? Yeah, I would agree there. But then you're getting in again into the 16, 17. Is he Calvin Ridley? I don't know, man. Calvin Ridley's only a year younger than Mike Evans. It's not like he's this young dude. I laugh because you still think of Calvin Ridley as, well, just wait till he hits his ceiling. I think he's already on the decline. Like, he had a fine year last year, but I ain't trusting him. I think it was a extreme overpay by the Titans. How have the Titans not learned that every time they bring in these 29, 30-year-old wide receivers that once were good, they all of a sudden fall off a cliff? It's been the Titans' MO. The Chiefs don't do this, man. Like, even Mike Evans, for an example, is what I would find interesting, Mike Evans, because maybe it's a one-year, two-year deal. When was the last time the Chiefs brought in an aging wide receiver? When was the last time the Chiefs brought in a aging, injury-prone wide receiver? It was Sammy Watkins. But Sammy Watkins was still relatively young.
He was like 26 or something when they brought him in.
And so when I look at this, the only name that really stands out at me as one of the bigger name guys would be Hollywood Brown because of the age.
And also, the guy has wheels. He runs a 4.27. So he, that vertical element that this offense has been sorely missing the past few years, they would bring that back. He is kind of a dollar store on sale, Tyreek Hill, if you will.
I'm just the biggest Hollywood Brown guy. I know you're a fan, but I never find the 40 to mean anything. I think the 40 is the most overrated statistic that people bring up. It makes no sense to me. You never run in a 40-yard straight line without pads on in the NFL. It makes zero sense. But, I mean, he had 574 yards last year. He played in 14 games. Year before, he played in 12 games, 709 yards. And now what you're going to say, yeah, who do you have thrown in the rock? Agreed. But it's not like guys don't put up numbers with bad quarterbacks. That's what wide receiver ones do. It's not like he's out there playing every single game, by the way, either. I have so many questions about Hollywood Brown, and I'm not sitting here wanting to pay that type of guy 17, 18 million.
I have questions too. And I was a big proponent of this last year, but the last season he showed he couldn't stay healthy. So I am a little bit worried, but the last time he played with a true QB1 in Lamar Jackson, he had 1,000 yards. He had 146 targets. So I think he's a pretty good player. I do think the 40 is overrated for wide receivers because I think it's a very technical, nuanced position where intangibles matter more than you think. However, I think when you get down to that 4.2 range, if you can track the ball, and a lot of these guys can't. Marquise Godwin, John Ross, these guys can't track the ball. If you can track the ball like DeSean Jackson, like Tyreek Hill, like Hollywood Brown, that speed does matter. That speed, that straight speed to take it over the top and lift the lid does matter. And we got a question about Mike Williams. Let's see where that is. From Phantom 1090, asking about Mike Williams. I think it's the same issue with Calvin Ridley, but maybe worse because he's been banged up the last 2 years. I think he's missed something like 16 games the last 2 years. Also, he is sort of slow. He's a contested catch guy. I don't think that's really Patrick Mahomes' game. I'll let you weigh in here, but I just don't think that's the way the Chiefs offense plays, is throwing it up and letting guys, you know, catch alley-oops above the rim.
Well, they don't play like that because they don't have any guys who can do it. That's also part of the equation as well. I think Mike Evans would be fun. I think it'd be entertaining. Again, I don't think it's a...
Mike Williams or Mike Evans?
Mike Williams, sorry.
It gets confusing.
A lot of Mikes. But when it comes to Mike Williams, is it fun? Yes. Is it a double-edged or a double positive for Kansas City, because that means he can't just destroy the Chiefs yet again because he always has the best games against Kansas City? You bet your ass. Same time, the Chiefs have shown they don't do this. This is not a move the Chiefs typically would make. So why would I get myself hyped up about this? Why would I talk myself into this actually happening? Again, would I like to see it? Sure. But do I think it's a real possibility? No. No, I don't. Unless Mike Williams has taken the Drew Tranquil, I will take less money to play for a contender, at least in his year one, to try and build your stock back up, which why would he at his age? Mike Williams is probably going to get paid a good amount of money by a team. If he got 3 for $45, would you be surprised? Because I would not.
I would not either. I mean, there are teams desperate to add wide receiver help. And for the Chiefs, it would be insane to pay that. But if you have a rookie quarterback like Bryce Young and you need to set him up for success and you cannot wait to develop receivers, it might make sense to bring someone in and pay him that kind of money and hope that he can stay healthy. But it doesn't make sense for the Chiefs. And I get it. Everyone loves a good revenge signing. You know, the Broncos got us pretty good when they took Neil Smith and he won a couple of rings. I mean, we would love to do Drew Tranquil. I mean, who was more fun on the Chiefs than Drew Tranquil last year? That was a blast. You don't want to do it just for the sake of doing it. And I think, like you said, he's been a Chiefs killer. So I think that makes everybody in Kansas City maybe remember those games, those performances, and overvalue his stock a little bit, because really he's been a roller coaster player. He's been wildly inconsistent throughout his career. And it would be fun if he wants to come ring chase on the cheap again. Everyone always theorizes that that might happen, but in reality, it is not happening. Guys, I think it harkens back to James Palmer last year saying, Patrick Mahomes' phone is blowing up. Well, it might be blowing up, but when the receivers hear how Veach is willing to play them, they don't sign here, do they?
I mean, even Juju, it wasn't like Juju got paid here. He had to come on a prove it deal, and then he proved it, and the Chiefs were like, now we're good. I mean, it's just hard. It's hard because you're in the salary cap era. It's hard because you have to make concessions somewhere. It's hard because the Chiefs are making concessions at the one spot where the $500 million quarterback has the largest impact. That's the wide receivers. It's hard because we saw every single receiver last year not named Rashee Rice take a massive step back. That's what it comes down to. If MVS would have done what he was supposed to do, if Sky Moore just took a slight step forward instead of falling off a cliff, if Kadarius Toney didn't lose multiple games by himself, we wouldn't even be this worried right now. And that's why I'm calmer than most in regards to the Chiefs have to overhaul the wide receiver room. So I'm calmer than most when you have the absolute, in my opinion, the absolute worst case scenario last year of what happened. Worst case scenario. And they still found a way to win a Lombardi. The Chiefs will bring in a veteran or two. It might not be a big name guy, but they'll bring in a guy to replace the couple hundred yards that MVS got. They'll draft a guy to go alongside Rashee Rice as the wide receiver one. I think Rashee Rice is going to take another pretty large step forward. He really came on strong late in the year. I see him being a top 32 wide receiver. Like, I think there's some good reasons to be optimistic I'm not saying great, but there's some reasons to be optimistic, even with, again, maybe some smaller name guys who are probably going to grace this roster.
Yeah, I think we need to define what a wide receiver one is, because it's not just A.J. Brown or Ja'Marr Chase or Tyreek Hill. Those guys are alpha superstar wide receiver ones. Wide receiver ones can be like DJ Moore, someone like that, top 20, top 24 receivers, guys that you can count on to push for 1,000 yards year in, year out. Rashee Rice has already shown he can be that kind of guy. And I don't think we should put a ceiling on him yet. Maybe he can expand his route tree. Maybe he can, year after year, get a little better at beating man. It wouldn't be the first guy to get better at beating man coverage. Brandon Ayuk is an example I use a lot, because when he came out of college and first played for the 49ers, he could not beat man coverage. Kyle Shanahan, I will be doing that until the day I die. He was in his doghouse because of route running and playbook issues, and figured it out. So sometimes these guys figured out the light bulb comes on, and let's give them a chance to maybe grow into a wide receiver one.
Yeah. I also think a name that intrigues me a lot, Curtis Samuel. I've been intrigued by Curtis Samuel a long time. He's the kind of guy that goes to 600 to 800 yards pretty much perpetually every single season. He's not played with great quarterbacks, but they move him around, slot, outside, in the backfield. Again, he's not a de facto wide receiver one, but that's not what I'm asking him to be. The Chiefs aren't going to bring in, again, as you're mentioning, an A.J. Brown. They're going to bring in a Justin Jefferson. They're just not. So what are the steps down? I think Curtis Samuel fits that role. He can be your Tony. He can be your Sky Moore. And you are relying on a guy who has shown to be reliable in the past. You're not out here sitting and hoping for potential. We're talking about actual production. That's why I think Curtis Samuel makes a lot of sense in Kansas City. He will not be extremely expensive. That's a name that I think I would like more than the majority of people who would see that name come across on the X and say, who's this guy?
It's the talent is tantalizing. I don't really understand the player. And the reason why is, if you look back to 2018, kind of, but especially 2019, he's a player who plays outside 71% of the time and has an average depth of target of 14.8 yards. But since then, he's really like an A dot of 7 yards guy who plays in the slot 70% of the time. And he's been more effective in that role. But my question is, how much can they use him outside? Can he stretch the field? Because he does have elite long speed. He's not just quick. He's the all-around athlete that you're looking for. And I wonder if he is Kadarius Toney with his head screwed on straight.
Yeah. Again, I don't know how much outside he can play. I will also point out, I think Rashee Rice is going to start playing a little bit more on the outside. I know you and I somewhat differ here a little bit. Not saying Rashee Rice is going to strictly play on the outside, but I think he'll get more reps out there. So if Curtis is playing 70% slot, 30% on the outside / lined up in the backfield, then you kind of interchange that with Rashee Rice. I just think the versatility of Curtis Samuel, the ability to do the end arounds, the wide receiver screens, line him up a little bit of everywhere, it just fits with what Kansas City typically likes in their wide receivers.
Have the end arounds and jet sweeps, have they jumped the shark a bit? Last season, they just seemed to not be as effective as previous seasons for the Chiefs. Or is that a personnel issue?
That's a good question. Maybe both. I mean, Kadarius Toney seemingly would fit that role perfectly. The issue is you didn't trust him to get the ball. Like those end arounds, those sweeps, he makes the most sense. They didn't really run it a ton, I felt like, last year. Maybe that was part of it, but you're right. It wasn't super effective. We didn't see a ton of wide receiver screens going for 20-plus yards. We didn't see a ton of end arounds all of a sudden breaking a big play. That was lacking to an extent.
The reason I might be back on the Chiefs spinning up here to kind of close out wide receivers, and Hollywood Brown specifically, is because they seem a little bit more willing to spend than I thought with this Mahomes restructure, with the money they gave Chris Jones. Kind of the calculus that we were doing last week was based on how much we think this team will spend and how much they will kick the can down the road. And I think we've seen them be a little bit more aggressive than we thought. And it makes sense. They've realized that, hey, like we said, we're going for a three-peat, but also this is a really special window when you have three what I think are going to be first ballot Hall of Famers if this keeps up in Patrick Mahomes, Chris Jones, and Travis Kelce. I mean, Andy Reid as well, and possibly Brett Veach. But really special window that we may never see again, even with Mahomes having this kind of trifecta. So I think that's why I've warmed up to Hollywood Brown a little bit again. Maybe we'll have more slices of the pie is the way I'm seeing it.
Another wide receiver. I know we're trying to move on here, but just a guy I always talk about Diontae Johnson. And that bummed me out, man. Oh, it was a pipe dream. It wasn't going to happen, but I love Diontae. He has a lot of drop issues. He's had it multiple times in his career. I think it's all mental, where it's like it's a lapse where he'll make some of the most incredible, difficult catches where he's getting drilled, and then it'll be an easy one for a first down, and he just completely drops it. I know because I watch a lot of Steelers games, because I always draft Diontae Johnson in fantasy football. He gets a lot of receptions. He gets a lot of targets. It's what he does. I thought he would have made a lot of sense in Kansas City, but Steelers said they didn't want to trade with the Chiefs, and I found this hilarious because it's not like they're the Ravens or the Texans or the Bills or the Bengals, a team that thinks they're competing in the AFC. Steelers are ass, man.
Oh, but like, they do think they're competing. That's the problem with the Steelers, is they won't bottom out. They're not self-aware. Part of the problem with Tomlin is that he's okay with going 9-8 or whatever and backing into the playoffs. That's the last place you want to be in the NFL. That's no man's land. And they think they're a contender, and everyone, you know, the other 31 teams think they don't. So,
yeah. They're going to go 9-8. They brought in Russ. If I were the Steelers, I'd just go a full season with Kenny Pickett and just see what he is. But that's probably not going to happen. They'll probably go back and forth, half game with Russ, half game with Kenny, and they will still have zero idea what they have. It's a great streak that Mike Tomlin has. It's a fun streak that Mike Tomlin has, but again, it's not the best for the organization, in my opinion. He's a great head coach. I'm not saying he should leave, but I'm saying they should just completely bottom out. I think the Broncos actually did the right thing. They said, okay, we're going to pull the Band-Aid off. We're going to suck. We are going to be atrocious, but let's be atrocious this year and not atrocious for three or four more years. I actually don't mind the pickup of Russell Wilson by the Steelers, because they're not paying hardly anything, and it does put some pressure on Kenny Pickett. But I just know how the Steelers operate, which is going to be a timeshare with those two dudes, which is going to be horrible for Kenny Pickett's trajectory.
Yeah, it's like having a cold. Since I've just had a cold, sometimes you just got to lay down and take your medicine, you know, and to get better. And the Steelers are refusing to do that. And I actually applaud the Broncos for saying this current path is not going to get us anywhere close to Patrick Mahomes and co. So we've got to tear it down and rebuild from basically scratch. So, and on Diontae Johnson and the drops, I think the whole drops thing for most players is overblown. When you're highly targeted like those guys, CeeDee Lamb, high drop rate, AJ Brown, DK Metcalf, Jamar Chase, when you get that many targets, you're going to drop some, especially when you're looking to make explosive plays, rack up yak, all that kind of stuff. And Hollywood Brown and Diontae Johnson have both had some bad drops on primetime. I think that hangs in our collective consciousness. So just wanted to throw that out there. I always push back on the drops a little bit. Now, if you're Justin Watson and your drop rate is 12% and you don't get targeted that much because you're strictly a downfield threat, that's a problem.
Yeah. I like this one from R.W. Sanders. Says, get a vet left tackle and give Wanye the Allegretti role. I would like a left tackle. I've said it. I think Tyron Smith makes a lot of sense in Kansas City, because I don't know how many teams can handle the inconsistent health of Tyron Smith. When he is healthy, he is still an all-pro. He's phenomenal. Again, he doesn't play in a ton of games anymore. It's been like 6 years since he's played a full season. But of the teams who can handle something like that, it's Kansas City. Because Wanya Morris, I have a lot of faith in. I don't know if you want him to be your starting left tackle for the entire season this upcoming year, but if you told me you'd get 8 games of Wanya Morris in the regular season, what's that, 9 games of Tyron Smith, and then you get the playoffs of Tyron Smith, I think you're sitting here going, yeah, you'll take that. I don't care if it's 8 mil, 1 year, 8 mil for Tyron Smith. It's worth it. That's the way I view this, and I don't know how many teams can view if we only get 8 games from Tyron Smith, are we bleeped? The Chiefs aren't, but 25 other teams I think would be.
And the Jets were another team that theoretically might need a guy like Tyron Smith. And they took themselves off the board. They traded for Morgan Moses, right?
Yeah, from the Ravens.
Right. And so they have their left tackle. I think they have their left. I think they're going to play him at left tackle. So Tyron Smith, I think, is a perfect fit. I'm in agreement there. Wanya Morris, very high on him long term. Short term, the way I saw him play against Khalil Mack, against Max Crosby, I don't think we want to depend on him in the playoffs yet.
Dog, but how many guys get destroyed by those players specifically? And how many rookies would have gotten destroyed? I mean, Andrew Thomas did his rookie season. All tackles get worked.
But I preface that by saying this is not a judgment on his long-term ability. I think he might be able to get to a place where he can handle players like that. Right now, I wouldn't want to bet the Chiefs' title hopes on whether he can stand up to a premier pass rush. I just don't think he's ready yet. I think the Chiefs drafted him as a developmental project, and they thought, give us 3 years with this kid, and maybe we can turn him into a starting left tackle.
I also think it's interesting if the Chiefs decide to get out of Juwan Taylor's contract, do they then move Wanya to the right side? I think there's actually a lot of mobility with what the Chiefs can potentially do with their offensive line in the next 2 seasons.
They haven't restructured Juwan Taylor yet. So
no, and if the Chiefs decide to draft a left tackle in the draft, that says a lot about Wanya, but it could say a lot about Juwan if they think Wanya Morris is the future right tackle, because I do think he's got a lot of talent. I've been on record saying that was maybe my favorite draft pick of that specific draft for Kansas City, of course. We see what Rashee Rice is now. But of course, I'm going to at least stand on my hill over here. I'm still very high on Morris, so we'll see what happens. But the Chiefs are not in a horrendous spot. Again, I know people want to have the left tackle figured out for years to come, but even if the season started tomorrow, which of course it does not, I think the Chiefs still have a very good offensive line with Wanya at left tackle.
I saw Trent Brown, the expatriate, mentioned in the chat. Is he still available? It's been so hard to follow everything. It's like an avalanche of free agent news.
You said Trent Brown?
Correct.
Let me check.
Ex-Patriot, ex-Raider.
Yeah, he was a right tackle for the Raiders, though, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
I think he's played both sides.
Yeah, he was right tackle for San Fran, left tackle in New England, right tackle in Oakland, and then both right tackle and left tackle in New England again. So
he's very Donovan Smith-like. You want him in a winning culture to keep him motivated. But I think in the right system, he could perform adequate. You know, he'd be a good stopgap option possibly for a year while Wanya Morris grew into the position. And if Wanya Morris could beat someone like that out in camp or Tyron Smith, I mean, that's a great problem to have. Maybe Juwan sits on the bench if he can't get it together.
Well, for me, I'm still going to say Tyron Smith is my guy, because you look at Trent Brown, and he played 11 games last year. He played on all 17 the year before that, but then 9, 5, and 11. Not a great track record for an offensive lineman. One full season over a 5-year stretch. Has only played a full season 3 times in his 10-year career, 9-year career. Not great, especially for an offensive lineman who you're expecting to have a lot of accountability availability every single game. That makes me nervous.
I have a question for you. Different topic. But I saw that Kay Adams today asked if K King Henry, Derrick Henry, was on the Ravens when the Ravens hosted the Chiefs in the AFC Championship. Would the Ravens have won? Because I think the implication there was they would have run the ball more. They would have been motivated to run the ball more. What do you think?
It's a really good question. That's why I don't know how to pontificate on this, because I'm sitting here going, yeah, they may have ran the ball more, but the Chiefs have been one team that have stopped Derrick Henry in the past. And I do think in that game particularly, I don't think it would have changed where they would have dared Lamar to throw. Stack boxes doesn't all of a sudden mean that you're going to run more effectively. Yeah, you might run a few more times, but I don't think it was going to be effective either way. The Chiefs were daring Lamar to throw, and he couldn't. It's a great question. I think it's going to be fun to watch how the other teams in the NFL try and handle the Ravens offense, who I think is going to be very, very good yet again next season. But I still just don't think they match up well against this Chiefs defense, especially if Legarius is still here. It's one of those situations where I believe in the Chiefs defense and their ability to say, hey, all right, we're going to take away your biggest weapons. If you're great on the ground, good luck, because we can go one-on-one on the outside, and then you're going to have to find a way to make great plays with your arm, which, as great as Lamar is, he's still not an elite throwing quarterback. And that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, we can do this woulda, coulda, shoulda stuff until we're blue in the face. But the reality is the Chiefs keep finding a way, despite some imperfect conditions on their own roster. You know, so I'm sure maybe they would have run the ball more. But the thing is, if the Ravens scored more, I think 15 and Andy kind of come at them differently in the second half.
They really
took their foot off the gas and just tried not to make mistakes, because the Ravens weren't scoring either. So
I said after that game, I have such a greater appreciation for Tom Brady, which I know it sounds crazy, but it's always fun to say, yeah, Tom Brady, sure, he has all the rings, but he was a check down merchant later on, you know, 13-3 win over the Rams. End of the day, you do what you have to do to get it done. It doesn't matter. You don't get extra bonus points for winning by more points. You don't get extra bonus points for winning sexy. All that matters is that you win. That's what Mahomes and the Chiefs did in that second half against the Ravens. They said, okay, we know our defense is going to shut you down. We're not going to even have the opportunity to make a mistake. We're not going to put ourselves in that situation. And I gained such a greater respect for Mahomes and Andy, having the understanding that in that moment, we know that Mahomes is phenomenal. We know that he might take some slack after the game for not throwing or having a phenomenal game stat-wise. But what matters? The stats are moving on. They moved on. They found a way to get it done. The game plan was perfect. Again, I'm not saying they weren't trying to pick up first downs, but they were trying to be very, very conservative. It worked.
And think about it like this. The year where Brady went nuts with Randy Moss, did they win the championship? They did not. The year that Patrick Mahomes threw up 50 TDs, did they win the championship? They did not. Hey, I like offensive fireworks as much as anybody out there, but there has to be some balance.
Yeah.
You know, so, but I will say this. Derrick Henry has been running behind the worst, arguably the last 2 years, the worst line in football. When it comes to yards before contact, they were 30th. So bottom three, the Ravens were number one.
Yeah.
So if you think about Derrick Henry getting a full head of steam and Lamar Jackson freezing linebackers to get him started, it is a scary proposition. And it's going to be a really cool looking backfield too. Fun and Madden, all that stuff.
Yeah, well, I said from the get-go when this move happened, again, I think Derrick Henry at times – the past year or two has been a little overrated. The past year or two. And at times, I'm sitting here going, I don't know how much he moves the needle in 2024 offenses as a running back who's not a pass catcher. But with the Ravens, it's the perfect complement. If you are an edge rusher and you have to see what's going on with Lamar, if he's going to keep it or hand off to Henry, well, if you freeze even 1 second, then Henry's trucking you. Or if you freeze, you're getting juked by Lamar. It's a lose-lose situation. They are going to be a very interesting offense to watch. We'll see how it actually plays out come playoff time, but that seems like a good playoff option as well. It's going to be old school football. You might see a lot of options, almost some college style ball. It's going to be weird, man. It's going to be entertaining though.
Yeah, and if you think about how good Gus Edwards was in that offense, this is going to be Gus Edwards on human growth hormone. It's such a good fit. It's such a fun fit. I don't think it necessarily makes them the favorite in the AFC or anything like that. But I will say about King Henry losing juice, last year he had his highest miles per hour on a run since either 2019 or 2018. I forget the year. So he still has it. He still has it. I think maybe because of how bad that line was, we might be anticipating his demise prematurely, kind of like Travis Kelce, where everyone just keeps asking, can they keep doing this? Can they keep doing this? And yes, they are the outlier. They are the freak. They are, we're just witnessing Hall of Fame, once in a generation talents.
Yeah, and it's hilarious that the Titans then went and got Tony Pollard, who is the exact same player as Tajay Spears. Like, it made no sense to me. I think Tajay Spears is a very underrated, going to be a really nice running back. And then the Titans are like, you know what? No, let's block him again. Let's bring in Tony Pollard, a guy who does the exact same things well that he does.
That just floored me. I don't understand that at all. I don't understand that at all. I mean, my favorite running back signings are Aaron Jones for 1 year, $7 million to the Vikings. That guy was going crazy at the end of the year. I think he had 100 yards in his last five or six games. When he is healthy, God, it's a little too much money for us, but could you imagine him as the satellite back mixing in with Pacheco in the Chiefs offense? Oof.
Yeah, I mean, he's the perfect complement to Isaiah Pacheco, because Aaron Jones has done this with Jamal Williams, AJ Dillon, he's been trained to be a timeshare back. Pacheco, we know he's very physical and the best pass protector or pass catcher for that matter. Aaron Jones and Pacheco would be electric back there. I was so hoping. And then you see Austin Ekeler 2 for 11. I'm like, oh, I think I would have made that move. And then you see Antonio Gibson 3 for 11. And I'm like, oh, I think I would have made that move. I'm just sitting back going, I know I'm team typically don't pay running backs, but those three guys in particular didn't get huge deals. And I think that the compliment with Pacheco would have been such that I would have made those moves happen. I'm bummed we don't get to see that here in Kansas City.
The Antonio Gibson one was the one that I thought we could afford. So I guess we're just out on paying for a running back, which... More power to the Chiefs. They have proven with Damian Williams, with Jerick McKinnon, and with Isaiah Pacheco, either off the scrap heap or in the seventh round. Denarik Prince too. We'll see what happens with that. But there's a little bit of promise there. But I think they're going to keep taking bites at the apple, keep trying to find these late round running backs, these guys that nobody else wants, and plugging them into this system. I guess this is just another sign that after CEH, they're going in another direction. And I totally understand that. The running back market, I think, got a little bit out of control these last couple of days, probably because this sort of too high shell, limit explosive plays things has swung the pendulum of NFL offenses back to, okay, we need to run the ball a little bit more because teams just aren't giving us these deep shots, and we have to punish them for having all these light bodies out there.
Well, I've talked to Emmitt Smith a few times now. I've interviewed him three different times. You know, last time was on Radio Row. And every time we talk about it, I always say, I always enjoy talking to you to get your perspective because you see it. He says the same thing. It's going to swing back. The league is cyclical, right? It's always cyclical. It goes when every team is pass happy, there's going to be some teams that say, all right, well, now we're going to run the rock on you. Again, not saying it's going to go back to the 1940s, but he always says, don't bleep on the running backs now. And then when, you know, you need them to step up and you need them to help you out, well, don't be surprised if they turn their back on you. You know, because you got to make sure that you take care of these guys. When you're paying these guys this amount of money now, it makes sense because they're going to get used more often. They're going to be more involved in offenses going forward. I always found that interesting that Emmitt Smith saw this coming from a mile away. Obviously, Hall of Fame running back, he probably understands the game pretty darn well, especially from the running back position. But I think you're completely right. Especially with linebackers, with three safety sets, with linebackers getting a little lighter and more mobile, that's great and all, until you have to try and take down a big-bodied running back coming directly at you. I do think that running backs getting the bag this offseason made a lot of sense.
Hey, good for them. I'm happy for them, definitely. I'm also kind of happy that the Chiefs didn't do something a little reckless here. The thing about paying running backs is it's not that they don't have value. It's just that some of these positions, like running back, like safety, linebacker, they might not be as impactful. And I think it's pretty easy to find average play there. It's pretty cheap and easy to find. There's a surplus. This is all about scarcity. It is hard to find a left tackle. It is hard to find a good edge. It is hard to find an elite receiver. Is it hard to find Jerry Jeudy? No, it's not. That's why he went for, you know, chump change. But that's why, like, Tyreek Hill went for the mother load, because it's all about scarcity.
Supply and demand, baby. All about economics. Good question here. Good comment, actually, from Oregon Fishing. Says, I think there'll be some vets released that'll ride up Veach's alley. Eric Armstead is really interesting to me besides CJ95. Very good call. Yeah, we talked about Mike Williams a little earlier on. But, yeah, you're completely correct there, Oregon.
Also,
always appreciate you, by the way, in here. But yeah, man, I mean, there's going to be a lot of decent sized names getting released, and that's probably a good opportunity for Brett Veach to start swinging. Might not be any home runs, but some doubles will play.
Yeah, Eric Armstead, if you can't beat him, join him. You know, he's lost to the Chiefs twice in the Super Bowl. Maybe change the shade of red and gold. I think he would fit very well. But again, with each of these guys coming to the Chiefs and taking less to chase a ring, I will believe it when I see it. Yeah. It's happened a little bit, but not a lot.
Yeah. And by the way, I've seen the chat a few times. Like, there's elite receivers out there. No, there's not. I don't think there's a single elite receiver that's available right now.
No.
I don't
Calvin Ridley is not elite.
No, I mean, Calvin Ridley is not even as – if you say Calvin Ridley or Christian Kirk, I might take Christian Kirk. Again, really good player, but we're not talking elite. When I think of elite, I think of A.J. Brown, Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill, like elite. There's some
– Justin Jefferson. Let's go down the list. Chase, Cooper Kupp.
Is Puka Nacua there yet?
Not yet. I think he's on his way. Amon-Ra St. Brown is.
He's there.
Is Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs has been there.
I think is the correct terminology. Yeah,
Brandon Ayuk's knocking on the door. This is not a long list. This is a list of 10 to 12 guys at any given time, right?
Yeah, because you're always going to overpay for wide receivers. You got to draft these guys. And the Chiefs finally hit on a wide receiver for the first time in a long time, at least a game-changing wide receiver, which is Rashee Rice. That's the way to do it. Look at the Chiefs roster and how many impact players they have from the draft. Look at winning teams. It's the draft. Free agency is fun. But do you always get back the value from the free agents you sign? Look back at what the Chiefs have done. Joe Tooney, yes. But even that we thought was an overpay for a guard. Has Juwan Taylor? Look at the big name free agents, I should say. Because I think Drew Tranquil, obviously, yes. Mike Edwards is the small ones. But I'm talking about like the big name free agents. Tyrann Mathieu, yes.
Great.
But how many big name free agents have the Chiefs brought in and said, oh yeah, that's outstanding? Frank Clark?
No. They traded for him.
No, I mean trade / contract for a big name player.
It worked out.
It's not the way to build.
But
it's not the way to build.
With Tyrann Mathieu and Frank Clark, the defense was so historically bad that they had to take desperate measures to kind of resuscitate that thing and get it to the level where Patrick Mahomes could drag it to a championship. And infusing, I think Tyrann Mathieu, both from a leadership standpoint and play standpoint, change the culture of that defense. And I think Frank Clark played a part in that with leadership and his play in the postseason. I think he was pretty disappointing in the regular season. But yeah, that's not, you can do that when you have a quarterback on a rookie contract, but Mahomes is no longer on a rookie contract. So you have to be a little more careful.
It's why I love what the Texans are doing, because they have CJ Stroud, rookie contract, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, rookie contract. Their two best defensive players, Will Anderson and Stingley, rookie contract. Texans right now are the third best team in the AFC. It's them, Ravens, Chiefs. Texans have done this the right way. I said from the get-go, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with because they have a lot of money to spend and they can overpay guys for 3 years, because when it's time to pay their young studs, that's fine. Those contracts are over. Texans are doing this the right way. They've been a fun team to watch. They've done the rebuild the correct way, and any team who has been drafting or going to be drafting in the top three, they now have a lot of pressure on them. It helps when you hit on your quarterback, of course, but they've hit elsewhere too. They went from one of the worst teams in the NFL to winning a playoff game last year. If you are the Bears right now, right? If you're the Panthers, if you are the who else is a really high, to an extent, the New England Patriots, like if you're one of these teams and you don't turn around in 2 years,
the Commanders,
well, the Commanders, you're seeing what the Texans just did. They're putting a lot of pressure on other organizations right now.
Yeah, and Danielle Hunter at edge, bringing him in from the Vikings to play on the same line with Will Anderson. That's going to be extremely dynamic.
With Danico Autry as well.
right. I'm not a huge fan of Joe Mixon, but I trust Bobby Slowick. Those Shanahan system guys know their run game pretty well. So if he thinks he's a fit the way he runs for that system, I'm going to have some trust there that he's found their guy. He can catch passes too. Good to have him out of Cincinnati, actually. Even though Zach Moss is an all right player, his replacement for the Bengals.
Yeah, bummer. As a Chase Brown dynasty fantasy owner, I was really hoping they'd go the Chase Brown route.
Well, Chase Brown catches passes, and his numbers were unbelievable in that regard. And Zach Moss doesn't do that. So I think they'll still use plenty of Chase Brown. Haven't heard much from the Bengals, but what did you think of Irv Smith, the tight end from the Bengals? He was previously in Minnesota with the Vikings, second round pick out of Alabama, only 25 years old.
Ricky Seals-Jones 2.0. It's fine. It's fine. I don't get why people are either thrilled, and I don't get why people are angry. It's a cheap contract. It's a depth piece.
Angry.
You shouldn't have any sort of, in my opinion, you shouldn't feel strongly one way or the other. Like, how many early round, first, second round tight ends turn out to be nothing in the NFL? So many. So seeing him as a second round tight end to me doesn't really bolster my confidence level. It's fine. The Chiefs have to sign depth pieces. I don't think Blake Bell's going to be back. I wasn't a huge fan of Blake Bell to begin with. Irv Smith isn't a great blocker, though. I don't think he's taking snaps away from Noah Gray. It's just a depth piece. It's totally okay.
Right. And I think back when he got drafted 5 years ago, tight ends weren't as prepared to be pro ready as these guys like Dalton Kincaid and Sam Laporta are now. He wouldn't be the first tight end to break, you know, have a late breakout. 25 in tight end years is still relatively young. It takes a while for a lot of tight ends to kind of get a feel for the game. You're basically both a wide receiver and a tackle in some ways. And it's a really hard thing to get that all together. You've got a lot to remember. You've got a lot to do. I don't expect a lot from him, but I'm also not ready to say that he's a scrub that can't make the team. I think it's the kind of flyer reclamation project that Brett Veach likes to make. There's no risk here, no risk whatsoever. He likes doing 12 and 13 personnel. Get a tight end body now so you don't feel like you have to do it in the draft if the right one doesn't fall to you.
I'm just not going to get fooled by Ricky Seals-Jones again. I got fooled once. Fool me once. Shame on you. Fool me twice.
What about
shame on you? Stop trying to fool me. Okay. Fool me three times. You fool me three times. Stop trying to fool me. You fooled me four times. If you fooled me four times, okay, well, I'm clearly not understanding this, so stop trying to fool me. Fool me five times, we're throwing hands.
Yeah. First ballot Hall of Famer, Jody Fortson, too. We can't forget about him.
Yeah.
I think this is probably the end for Jody, unfortunately.
Foster?
No, she's still, I saw her at the Oscars. She's still going strong.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
good.
She's good. Yeah. What else do we have here? You know, a guy I wanted to mention that I haven't heard a lot about, but I think would be perfect to the Chiefs, is defensive tackle Tyre Tart. He played for the Titans 2 years ago, was second in defensive run stops. He's a young guy. He got in a fight with the Titans. I think the Titans were kind of having some problems with their culture the last couple of years. He wanted out. They gave him a release. The Texans instantly signed him, and he played all right. So I think he's the kind of guy that the kind of run stopper that we could plug in next to Chris Jones, and he could be very effective. I don't think he's going to cost a bag. And when you talk about guys that have had personality issues, you throw him into the Chiefs winning locker room. Maybe that's not as big of a concern as it would be in other cities.
I don't hate it. I don't love it either. It seems in the ilk of Colin Saunders, Derek Nnadi.
Right.
There's already another guy I'm kind of intrigued by, Isaiah Bugs. I'm cool with it. Like, again, you need the depth there, so I'm not going to knock it, but it's fine.
I think he's a little bit above those guys potentially.
You look at your precious PFF there, Best.
I'm not looking at that. I'm not looking at the grade. I'm looking at defensive run stops, a different category, not great. Sure. So sure. Second in the league in defensive run stops in 2022. And I've noticed him. I've noticed him watching the league. He is a guy that gets some blow up the backfield TFLs. So he's popped on film for me. And I just kind of wondered what was up with him last season. And I, you know, when I was kind of researching guys who are available at defensive tackle, because the Chiefs both have the best defensive tackle in the league and maybe the worst overall group of defensive tackles in the league, which is a crazy thing to say, but it's true. So I started thinking, you know, we can't count on Mike Pinnell, playoff Warren Sapp forever. So
I'm going to.
We need another body.
Devondre
Mike
Sweat.
Pinnell, as of today,
signed.
Back for another year. Drew Tranquil, Chiefs NFL insider, Drew Tranquil broke the story.
Yeah, that's awesome. But again, you're right. He's not going to get a lot of snaps until playoff time. He's just going to be a depth piece. That's what he is. That's what he does. I want to see a young, high draft pick at defensive tackle. I know folks all are clamoring for wide receivers. Give me a defensive tackle. Bulk up. Beef up. Give me Devondre Sweat. Give me Fisk. I don't care if it's a first rounder. The Chiefs need to make a high investment on the defensive line. That, to me, is the biggest hole on the defense, figuratively and literally, based on size, of course. But I want to see some talent alongside Chris Jones, because that's going to make him play even better when he's not getting doubled, when he's not getting triple teamed quite as often. And the edges, I think you're okay with. Again, though, Charles Omenihu being out for a large chunk of the season is going to be a struggle.
It hurts both groups because he plays inside so well. I'm totally with you. Picking a receiver in the first round isn't a sure thing. Matter of fact, once you get outside that first 8 to 10 picks with receivers, you have pretty much just as good of a hit rate in round two as round one. So I'd rather see us get that defensive tackle in round one and get a receiver in round two than probably the inverse. I think that would give us better odds historically of having a hit. And really what you could do with wide receiver is pick one in round two and pick another one in round three.
Yeah,
you can easily do
100%. And by the way, Matt, I see the question. I'm pretty sure they've invested into the D-line recently. So on the edge. And if you want to count Chris Jones, again, yes, they have. I'm talking about the defensive tackle position specifically alongside Chris. Yeah, FAU, first rounder. I'm higher than most on him. George Karloftis was phenomenal. Great pick. but you need more. It's a position where, look at the Eagles, they have eight dudes. Look at the Texans, they have six guys. Look at the Ravens, they have six guys. You have to have so much depth and talent along the defensive line. Again, with Charles and Minnehu out, we have seen how many times Chris Jones has been doubled and triple teamed. If you want to get the best of Chris, give him a running mate who can get pressure as well. I understand there's been a lot of investment there, but in my opinion, there's hardly ever too much investment in the defensive line, as well as offensive line, but defensive tackle specifically, not just edge.
And the reason you rotate these guys so much is so in the fourth quarter, Chris Jones can get a good matchup on a weaker offensive lineman who's worn down and get a big win. I mean, you want these guys fresh so they can continue to pin their ears back and rack up pressures late in the game. I'm looking over my list and seeing what else we haven't hit. Well, we haven't talked about Russell Wilson yet. And I just think it's hilarious that the Broncos are paying for him to play in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's perfection. It's chef's kiss.
Now, I don't think it's going to work out for Pittsburgh, but that doesn't make it any less funny.
No, and it's one of those situations where it made sense, but it's still absolutely hilarious.
Well, again, it goes back to the whole Band-Aid thing we're talking about. Like, they just won't hit rock bottom. So, I don't think he's still got it, though. So,
oh, you think?
Well, hey, the Broncos have been such a debacle, and he had so many good years in Seattle. I think it's hard to definitively say he's cooked. You know, I think he has to be used a certain way, but if he's handing the ball off a shit ton and throwing moonshots and scrambling a little bit, you know, they've got some interesting weapons. They can run the ball a lot. He can dump off to Jalen Warren and hand off to Najee Harris.
I can do that too.
Can you throw
Mason Rudolph? No,
can you throw play action moon balls to George Pickens? I don't think so. He can do that. I think he and Sean Payton were a terrible match. I think he and Mike Tomlin are a much better match. I mean, again, I think his best days are long behind him, but I think he can be a little bit better than he was in Denver. It still won't matter. The Steelers don't have enough talent to truly contend, especially in a tough AFC North. So any other news come out? Any other questions, guys?
That's it until tomorrow, until we see the Chiefs sign everyone when this show ends.
I'm not seeing anything new. It's been surprisingly slow for the Chiefs, but I think everything is just kind of held up by Legere Sneed. So hopefully they get that done and we can get some things moving. But that's all we've got for you guys. Props to the chat. Thanks for joining us. If you're listening to this on Spotify or Apple, please consider giving us a 5-star review. That helps AA grow even faster. Please mash the like and subscribe buttons if you haven't. That also helps us. Until next Wednesday at 4:30 p.m., go Chiefs.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.